When it is bad, it is very, very bad.
Now all I can see is chaos and confusion.
The girl needs help.
Mother may have other opinions of what looks best, but of course, Mother has old-fashioned ideas. She has high standards for herself, and if she falls below them...
I hardly know how to begin. It was the most horrible...
It is a dangerous and complicated job.
Please sit down a minute.
Welcome back to Horrible Housekeeping. I'm your host, Alexa, and I hope you enjoyed the last two episodes. After I was done with the last episode, I get up and I find out that Tyler had pooped in the tub and didn't let me know. And yeah, that was a fiasco in and of itself. So I cleaned my tub after I talked with you guys last. That was exciting. Thankfully, he didn't get it anywhere else in the house. He just, I guess, figured, hey, I'm going to leave my mom alone and I'm going to go poop. And at least he made it to the bathroom. But I don't know why he wouldn't think of making it into the toilet. Who knows? He's two, guys. So we got to get him credit for making it to the bathroom. Anyway, I hope this is a place where the horrible housekeeper can find acceptance and also be encouraged and challenged. So I hope as you listen today, you can joyfully get something done. And I guess that I just wanted to reincorporate that was my mission with horrible housekeeping, and we can continue from there. So, well, I guess I'll just update you guys. Most of you guys that are listening know me, and I'm a bit distracted recording today because we had a cardiology appointment for Angela yesterday, and it went okay, but her levels aren't what we had hoped. So we'll be going back in 4 weeks. And just as a mom, that's really hard to hear that, you know, things aren't going as well as you hoped they were. That everything, you know, you kind of walk in there just praying that everything's perfect like they were last year. So getting that news, I'm just processing. I know, you know, the cardiologists always say, wow, her heart is healed so well. We can't even tell that she's had surgeries. And so as a mom, it's like, yes, like I know, you know, God healed her. God kept her alive when she was a baby. I definitely know that. And I know, you know, when we prayed for healing for her through the whole surgery process, I prayed for those specific things. Like, if you're going to give me back my daughter, make her whole, you know? And when the doctors say exactly what I had prayed for, you know, in my head, I didn't even say these things out loud. I know she's a miracle. I know these are just miracles that God has given me. So in knowing all this and the history, I know, you know, and I have faith that, you know, he's in control of everything. So I don't have to worry about things. But as a mom, that's easier said than done. So I've just been processing, just slowly just going through, okay, this is just how I process. I kind of come to reality with things and go, okay, this is worst case scenario. And I'm prepared for whatever may happen. And then we move on. And God gives me peace. So I'm sure he could give me peace earlier if I'm willing to just let go of the what ifs. But as a mom, and I'm sure, you know, all the you other moms out there, this is just hard. You know, I'm only human. So it is a hard situation to just be like, okay, I'm just going to let this go. That's just the sinfulness in me that I can't just let it go right away. So it is what it is. I'm just processing today. So just give me some grace through this episode. I hope it's everything that you guys want and dream. So we'll begin with a housekeeping tip, as always. I'm sure, you know, if you've been following along, if you've started with your list, if you haven't yet, go ahead and jump into those lists. Make sure that you have, when you go to organize a space, make sure that you have bags and boxes. So some bags are going to be going to Goodwill. Some bags are going to be going into the trash. And then boxes for storage or even for organizing. When you're organizing a space, most of the time you don't have to throw too much away, but you have to make sure that you have a place to put things and know, oh, okay, cool. This is where all my medicine goes, or this is where all my lotions go, or this is where all the papers go. It doesn't make sense to start organizing a space and not have things to organize with, because then you're just going to have pile over here, pile over there, pile over there. So keep that in mind. Boxes. I love boxes or baskets. Just something to put your stuff in if you decide not to throw it out. I'm sure on your list is your closet. The closet is the big one. I'll be helping my friend out with her closet here soon. And she has a walk-in closet. See, I don't have a walk-in closet anymore. But I remember those days, and I'm sure everyone has. The closet is on the list. We have a lot of clothes and shoes and all that just get hidden, and you haven't seen it in years, and you know just in the back of your mind, oh man, I need to get to my closet, but it's just so daunting because it's a big project. So with closet, what I do is, again, like I said, make sure you have your bags and your boxes ready. And hangers. Make sure you have enough hangers. I know sometimes my closet would just look so unorganized because I just didn't have enough hangers for my clothes. And once I got enough hangers, oh look, there's no clothes, you know, piled up anywhere. So make sure you have hangers. And sometimes it would make me feel good to buy wooden hangers, you know, pretty hangers. So I walked in and I felt like this place just looked cute and made me feel more at peace. I don't know, guys. I don't know if that helps you guys at all. The first thing that you guys are going to do is allow time. Usually with a closet, you want to allow at least a whole day, dependent on how big your closet is and how many kids you have. I think with kids, everything takes longer. So just make sure you give yourself time. Don't think that, oh, I'm going to walk into my closet and an hour later you're going to walk out. Sorry, if you're going to do it right most of the time, and if you haven't organized the closet in a long, long time, it's going to take longer than that. So just allow yourself some time. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to just take everything down. It drives my husband nuts when I organize a space, because usually he walks in the middle of what's happening and he sees the chaos. He sees everything out on the bed, everything on the floor, everything in the hallway. And he says, why can't you just do sections at a time? But no, you can't do it that way. If you're going to properly organize a space, you need to take everything out of the space and then slowly put things back. So what you're going to be doing is trying on your outfits out in your room, looking at your outfits and saying, okay, this one I do want to keep, and this is exactly where I want it to go in my closet. So you're going to do that with shoes, with bags, with whatever you have. Just take it all out, put it out in your hallway. It may take a couple days, and I've had that happen before where it's taken a couple days, and just make sure everyone's warned, hey, I'm organizing the closet, had to take everything out, it will be all put back tomorrow. And yeah, when you put everything back in the closet, I know I talked a little bit on the minimalist episode that Rachel and I did on Moms Out Loud. And when I put clothes back, my sister-in-law had told me years ago, when she hung up her clothes, she would hang it with the hanger backwards so that when she did use it, she would flip the hanger over. And then give yourself a designated time to check those hangers. So 6 months to a year, look back and see, okay, what clothes have I not even touched? What clothes have I not even tried on in the last year? Those are going out. So you might have loved it on the hanger, but you're obviously not using it. I know it's easier said than done, but over time, you'll start realizing the clothes you don't touch, you're not going to miss them. And now when I go to the store and I buy a top or two, I come back and I usually get rid of 5 tops. You know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to wear this instead of that. And I don't ever wear this top or that top. And so obviously it's changed a little bit now that I have a very minimal wardrobe. I can't get rid of as much as I used to when I go shopping. But again, it still happens with me. You know, I need to make room for the new tops coming in. I'm not going to just keep piling and then I'm not even touching half the stuff. So just be conscious of that. So when you're putting things back into its place, maybe flipping over those hangers so that you can do a quick overview later on. So I hope, you know, while you're listening, again, my hope is that you're doing something productive. So while you're doing that, I'm going to be talking to you guys about some things that are on my heart this week. I'm going to say in our news segment, okay? So the first thing that I found out, it was actually a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to talk about it in the last show, but I know it's been a concern to one of my mom friends in Florida that the government is trying to mandate eye exams for newborns, no matter if they are premature or if there's some sort of concern. They're just trying to mandate eye exams, period. And that's a huge concern for her having a baby in Florida. She's hoping that that's not going through. And like I said last week, anything that comes through in one state will probably come through in other states. So we do have to be concerned, even though I'm not in Florida. That would be awful for all babies to be mandated to have these eye exams. If you've ever seen pictures of an eye exam for a newborn, it's just invasive. It's not comfortable, and it's not necessary, to be totally honest. So my daughter has had an eye exam before, and it's when she's old enough to sit still. I mean, that's just how it's always been. There's really no need to be looking at a newborn's eyes in such an invasive way, holding them down, stressing them out. For what exactly? It's just another thing to add, and I just don't understand it. And so I just kind of wanted to give you guys the shout out. If you guys haven't heard about the government looking at mandating those, go ahead and check it out. Just so you're aware of what's going on. And we talked about this last episode. As a mom, you need to be, or a parent, whoever's listening to this, you need to be aware of what's happening, because it, even if you don't have kids right now, it's going to affect you in the future when you do have kids. So be aware, and when things come up that we can actually have a say in, let's do that. Moving on from that, I wanted to talk about the Creation Museum and Ken Ham. So at my church on Sunday nights, we are going through it's a foundation series by Ken Ham. It's not really new information. I mean, we've been to the Ark, and if you haven't been to the Ark, you should go to the Ark. We definitely want to go back and reread stuff and take more time when the kids are older. The foundations, it's not really new stuff, but it's so good to hear it from Ken Ham, the confidence that he has in the scriptures. What the foundations is about is just that, the foundation of the Bible. He hones in on Genesis 1 through 11, and he talks about how we live in this generation where when we want to go debate if God is God or if we should be atheists, which is the prominent thing to believe, when we want to debate atheism versus Christianity, the atheists say, well, you can't use the Bible because I don't believe in the Bible. And so the Christian goes, okay, to be politically correct, we'll go off of something else. But what Ken Ham is saying, no, we believe the Bible, so we're going to use the Bible. We're going to use the Bible in a debate as Christians, because we're Christians, we believe in it, and you guys get to reference it whenever you feel fit for history purposes, because it has been proved accurate historically. But because you don't believe in the creation part, you want to cut that part out of the Bible, and so we can't use it anymore. It's just interesting to hear that. It's like, yeah, we need to use the Bible when we're talking to other people. We can't be using other things to convince people that God is God. You have to use the Bible to talk about God. That's just the fact of the matter. And so he goes into how we are a generation, we're very wishy-washy as Christians, and we might be okay getting rid of the Bible in a conversation with someone that's not a Christian, because we don't really believe all of it is real and true. And isn't that scary? He talks about how Christians don't really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale or a fish. Christians are now happy saying, oh, well, that's just a story. But where do you stop? So when God says in Genesis that he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, do we believe that that's legitimate as Christians? Yes, every single thing in the Bible is fact. Or are we going to be okay with saying, oh, well, that's just a story as well? We're okay with going along with the world and saying, well, one day was actually a million years. And we're okay then to accept evolution, which is just a theory still, by the way. And we're okay with accepting all these other things because we're not accepting that God's word is fact, is truth. And we just get led along and we get led astray and think, okay, I don't need, I can tear this apart and just say, oh, okay, well, I'll just believe that little part of the Bible. And then what you're doing to your children is, oh, well, mommy and daddy only believe this, and this in the Bible. So I don't even know if the whole thing is real. Maybe I won't believe in any of it. That's the danger to our children when we start looking at the Bible and just picking apart what we want. We're picking and choosing the verses that we want to believe in. And so the Foundation series really just dives into that. If you haven't watched the Foundation series, I know some of it's on YouTube. And if you're in a church, maybe asking your pastor to get the DVDs for this series, it's very good. I love how he just talks about all this, like, matter-of-factly, like, hey. This last week, he was talking about how Billy Graham, you know, had so much success with the way that he preached because he was still preaching to a generation that still believed in creation, a majority. And so now we're in a generation where we have to change up our tactics a little bit because we're now preaching against not only people that don't believe in God, but we're also preaching to the Christians that don't believe in creation the way that it is stated in the Bible. There's so much to consider as Christians that, you know, what churches to go to as a Christian, it matters. It matters what church you go to as a Christian. It matters if your pastor is preaching from the Word of God, and it matters if he believes in every single thing in the Bible. Because the minute he doesn't believe in that one little aspect, oh, it's just one little detail I don't really have to believe in, guess what? He's going to feel comfortable preaching about things that might not be in the Bible later on down the road. So I love this Ken Ham Foundation series. I really wanted to talk about it. It was really great to me because I know I always struggle with, you know, praying for friends that are not saved, you know, and I have a heart for them because I do believe in heaven and hell. I do believe in it. And so my friends might not believe in it, but you better believe I'm praying for them because I believe in it. I always pray, like, how do I talk about, you know, Christianity with them? I love them. Obviously, I'm loving on them. I'm talking with them. I do have a real friendship with these friends. But when we dig into a Jesus conversation, I should be backing it with the Bible because that's all. That's all it takes. It's the Bible. It's the truth. I believe every single word in it. I should be talking more about it. You know, I shouldn't be talking about, oh, this famous author or even Ken Ham, you know, when I'm talking about Jesus, talk about Jesus from the scriptures and talk about the God of Genesis. You know, he created the world. In 6 days, he created it. And it's interesting how, let's go into to climate change. This world is falling apart and we can't stop it. Yes, there are things that we can do to better our environment. Yes, for sure. We are supposed to respect the animals and the world. God gave this world to us to take care of. So we're not going to be littering. We should recycle, guys. You know, obviously, let's try to better it as much as we can. But newsflash, it's falling apart and we're not getting it back. Once sin entered the world, this world started dying. the world started dying, and scientifically that is backed. And yes, you can go all crazy for climate control. You can go all crazy for, you know, making sure, like, all the environmental stuff, go crazy for it. But if you believe that God created the world, sin entered the world, there's heaven and hell, guess what? Read Revelation. God is coming back. This world is going to be destroyed. And that's all there is to it. So we need to be more concerned with the souls that we're saving and the people that we're talking to. And how are we talking with them? Are we bringing up conversations about God? And, you know, and I fail at that every single day. It's ultimately what I'm here for, if I believe every word of the Bible. So I hope, you know, as I said before, this is a Christian podcast. So if you guys are Christians, look up Ken Ham, look up the, you know, the Creation Museum, visit the Ark, do all that good stuff, and just fill your head with the Bible. And when you're talking to non-Christians, make sure that you're backing it with the scriptures. It's really that simple. And God is going to tug at their hearts. God is going to tug at their hearts, because guess what? We all have souls. Let's not make it complicated. And talking about bringing up God, are we finding ways to bring up God? We'll move into how I can hopefully encourage you guys today. Going through my Bible study this last week, it was about our children. It was about being a mother, loving our children, valuing being a mother, and praying for our children, and what it is to be a Christian mom, and what we can do to better in our kids' lives and make sure they're saved. You know, isn't that the goal as a mom, as a Christian mom? You want your kids to be saved. And ultimately, that's what I pray for all the time. And it might be selfish, but I don't care. I am praying and I'm saying, God, I need my kids with me in heaven, okay? So no matter how selfish my reasoning behind starting the prayer is, it's not selfish. You want them saved. And are you coming up with ways to talk about God with them in your everyday life? And just remembering that children are your first ministry. Don't make yourself feel bad that you can't do it all. And don't make yourself run around in circles either. It's good to serve in a church. There's so many good things that sometimes we have to say no to because we have our first priority comes first, which is our children. And if we're going to keep saying yes, 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 even if it's to good things, we're going to run ourselves ragged and our kids are going to be left in the dust. And that's not what God wants for us as mothers. We want to make sure that we are putting our kids first, and we're making sure that, okay, God entrusted these kids to me. They are my ministry. I need to make sure that I'm praying for them. I'm talking to God. I'm making time for them. So I know sometimes I've felt bad, you know, because in some churches, you know, they want you to be there all the time, serving all the time. And I always kind of felt like, oh, I need to do that. I need to do that. And then yet I didn't get time to sit down with my kids that day. And I know it's a little bit easier for me to do stuff at church because I'm a homeschool mom. It's like I get them all day. What about moms that don't homeschool? You know, if you're serving in the church, which is a great, great thing, and if you have time for it, do it. And if you're being led to do it, and I believe as a Christian, we're going to be led to do something. But as a mom, maybe you need to slow it down. And that's kind of what I've been realizing. I need to slow it down. I want to serve when I can, but making sure that my kids get that first priority, because it matters. It matters to their lives and it matters to their hearts and souls and all that. And just making time to bring up God. So what am I doing? Yeah, I'm homeschooling them and we're making sure that we have Christian curriculum and all that. But I need to start the day with prayer and with Bible. And we have instilled that in them, that, you know, we need to get open up our Bible today. But even walking through, you know, the woods, I have the opportunity to be like, oh, isn't God's creation just so wonderful? Instilling your kids to think about God all the time. It was interesting in the Ken Ham series where atheists are saying, oh, well, they're just brainwashing their kids. Yeah, sure. What are you guys doing? You all have a belief system. whether it's in the Bible or whether it's in evolution or in this book or in this belief, whatever, we all stand on some sort of truth. And so, yes, we stand on the truth of the Bible. I'm allowed to talk about it however I want and however long I want and whenever I want with my kids. It's not brainwashing. It's teaching them. It's teaching them what we believe. And if they grow up and decide to part ways with our faith, that would be horrible, but obviously their decision. And hopefully as a mom, I have done my job in instilling, you know, facts and science and praying with them and making it a part of their lives to where they can't easily walk away from it. That's my job as a mom. Take this as encouragement to maybe make a little change. What are you not doing for your kids? Are you not praying for them regularly for their salvation, for their little needs? Is the prayer usually about me, me, me? Or is it that you don't even open the Bible with them, you know, throughout the day? It is what we believe, but are you saying, oh, well, these are just stories, and so they don't learn to take it seriously? Are you going through life and God doesn't even get brought up in a conversation? Let's change that. So what I have on my list is, before we leave the house, I've been trying to instill, okay, we're going to open up the Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to go through the Bible. We're not going to call it a story. And we're going to say, hey, wow, isn't that cool what happened here, you know, in the past? And this is what happened. This is what God says. And what else do you want to learn about today? And start a conversation with them before I leave the house. And then while we're out of the house, bringing up God with them, praying with them if they get a boo-boo, you know, and then coming back and at night instilling, you know, a family devotion and just making it a part of their lives. And I know that's been super hard for me as when I became a Christian, instilling Bible time and instilling God time, because I wasn't trained to do that. I was trained to just go to church. Yeah, we were faithful in church. We were faithful. I grew up Catholic, so we were faithful in going. We went to church. But in our everyday life, did he come up? No. And so as I got older, those habits, I didn't have habits of actually having a relationship with God. And so I had to build on that. I had to build from nothing in my daily walk. So for my kids, I want better for them. I want it to be easy for them to have a relationship with God. So I just encourage you moms, you know, to walk with me and just make little changes along the way to make our kids' lives easier to find God. In Romans 10:17, let me read this to you guys. In Romans 10:17, and go ahead and go read Romans 10. But in 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's that simple. It is that simple to just have your children hear. We can have a conversation with God. We can change our children's hearts. We see that in Proverbs 31. In Proverbs 31, I know that's like our thing as women is like we need to be Proverbs 31 women. But look at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this mother, she instilled these things in her son, so much so that he talked about them. And so as mothers, we need to have them hearing us. We need them to be seeing us praying and being active in our faith so that they can translate it in their adulthood as well. Well, and I loved how in the book of Women After God's Own Heart, in chapter 10, the first quote that she wrote up there, aim at nothing and you'll hit it every time. And I love that. And it's convicted me, not even in my role as mother, but in my role here on the podcast before I created the podcast, and just in my role, like in every area of my life. What am I aiming at? What am I aiming at? And if I'm aiming at nothing, I'll hit it every time. So I'm going to be aiming towards the Lord, and in every aspect of my life, I'm going to have to translate that to aim at God, no matter what I'm doing. So I hope that encourages you. I hope you have a goal, a purpose. You're aiming at something no matter what you're doing, and the Lord will prosper you as long as you're aiming towards what is good, what is right. And I hope that that's just something that you can aim at this week. Just a little bit. Baby steps. Like I said, baby steps. A little bit at a time. No one is perfect. I am far from perfect. And when I listen back to myself when I'm editing, sometimes I feel like, wow, Alexa, you sound a little holier than thou there. But honestly, I'm just talking how I'm feeling in my heart at that moment. I'm aiming here and trying every day at these things. So I hope you are too. And go ahead and follow me on Horrible Housekeeping on Instagram and on Facebook. And I know I organized my kids' bedroom this last week. I organized their baskets of clothes and I took a picture of a before and after. If you ever want to see how I organize a space, go ahead and let me know and I can take pictures through my Instagram and share them with you guys. I'll try to keep up with you guys on there and with any questions that you guys have. And you can email me at horriblehousekeepingpodcast@gmail.com. If you ever want to be a guest here, collaborate with me. If you ever want me to talk about anything, please go ahead, email me or message me on my Instagram and I will get back to you. So I hope you guys have a blessed week. Talk to you later.
When it is bad, it is very, very bad.
Now all I can see is chaos and confusion.
The girl needs help.
Hey!
Mother may have other opinions of what looks best. But of course, Mother has old-fashioned ideas. She has high standards for herself, and if she falls below them...
I hardly know how to begin. It was the most horrible...
It is a dangerous and complicated job.
Please sit down a minute.